So exactly 19 years ago, tomorrow. Do you remember what happened? 19 years ago tomorrow. What? You remember, don't you?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Okay. Don't say anything. We'll tell the people about it in a couple of minutes, okay?
Okay.
But first of all, this is the Now is the Time podcast. I'm Caleb Succo, and I have in the studio with me my very wonderful, loving wife, Christina.
Hello.
And this is our Valentine's Day special podcast. I don't know. I guess it's episode number 68. Podcast episode number 68. And today we are going to talk about relationships and love, and specifically why it's so hard sometimes to love your spouse. Would you say that sometimes it's hard to love me?
I think so.
Okay.
And I'm sure sometimes it's hard to love me, too.
Yes, it is. It is. To be honest, I know that it is at times hard for you to love me, and of course, sometimes hard for me to love you. So we're going to talk about that. Why is that the case? And of course, a number of ways that we can love each other, even when it is difficult to love each other. But before we get into that content, let's just talk about a couple of things going on in the ministry and news items. So, Christina, what about you? Or give a prayer request. What? I don't have you on the show that much. And actually, somebody recently asked me to have you on the show more often. So, from your perspective, from your life in ministry, what are the top one or two prayer requests that we can give to our listeners today?
Well, one prayer request for me would be to have wiser time management when it comes to children's schoolwork, to be able to get them organized in a way that they would get things done on time and nobody is flustered and everybody is in their right mind.
Including you.
Including me.
We have five kids. So, we have five children, and they're all homeschooled. So,
thankfully, the youngest one doesn't get grades yet, so that makes it easier for me. But with the rest, I do have to keep a pretty close eye on their schoolwork, making sure that they get things done on time. So pray for me, for my sanity.
So for time management and sanity, right? But you also do some ministry.
And my ministry is mainly at this point with a translators team. We're working on editing and proofreading lessons from the self-confrontation manual that is going to be used in our crisis pregnancy center. And we're almost to the end of the whole process, so that is a praise. But also, we still need to go through, weed out some typos if there are any, and just pray that I would be able to actually have time to go and meet with this group. They try to meet twice a week. I managed to go and meet with them just once. It would be nice for me to meet with them twice a week, but at this point.
But for that, you need me to, yeah, we have to have somebody really that's home with the kids while they're doing their schoolwork. Sometimes I'm able to work kind of from home and keep an eye on the kids and stuff.
So in the meantime, Caleb is planning a trip to the States, and it's going to be almost 3 weeks.
Yeah, so folks, I'm going to be in the States. I'm leaving here, February 26th till I think the 14th of March. And I will be in the Gig Harbor, Tacoma area the first week or so. I'm going to be speaking at a special event that our home church is having on the 28th, and also at a missions conference on the 28th in Maple Valley, Washington. And then I will be down in Vancouver, Washington for a Slavic pastors conference. And then I will be down in Los Angeles for MacArthur Shepherds Conference. So I'll be in the States for about 3 weeks. And if you're interested to see me during that time, of course, I'm be kind of confined to those areas, Los Angeles and Western Washington. But send me a note, let me know. And I'll try and get a speaking schedule out too, so you can kind of see where I'm going to be. If you're going to be around, would love to be able to see you during that time.
So with that in mind, also pray for me while I'm at home, making sure that things run smoothly. During that time that Caleb is gone, we are expecting to have two doctors that are coming to cover for one of our missionary doctors that is on furlough back in the States. And they're coming, and out of our team, there are just two people left. It's our co-worker Holly Friesen and me. And so we will be the ones who will have to take care of this couple that is coming. So just pray that their stay here would be a blessing, and that they would be a blessing to those people that they will see and treat while they're here. It's an opportunity for us to minister to them, and an opportunity for them to minister to Ukrainians. So just pray that that would be a wonderful time.
Okay, so there you heard it. Three, four prayer requests from Christina. Pray for her time management and sanity and homeschooling. Pray for her, the progress in their translation project that they're working on for the pregnancy care center. And then pray for her while I'm gone in the States, because she'll be heading the household up on her own for 3 weeks. So appreciate your prayers for those things. All right, so let's go back to our story that we started. That was exactly 19 years ago tomorrow, which is February 14th. Well, I'll publish this tomorrow, but today is the 13th of February. And we were in Washington. We were at Kopachuk State Park on the beach.
But actually, right? Even what? Since more in the morning on the 14th, back 19 years ago, I thought, something should happen today. I think I had an inkling that would happen.
I had bought a ring. And it was a very, very cheap ring. Because I had like no money. Because we were first year college students. But I had that ring kind of jingling around in my pocket that morning, I remember.
I didn't hear the jingle, though, to well, get that
okay.
inkling.
I had it in there, and I was playing with it with my finger a little bit, thinking, okay, when is a good time? When is a good time? And then I think, like, that afternoon, we went to Kopachuk Park.
It was a beautiful day. Very sunny,
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, for February, it was, it was a beautiful day. And I got down on my knee and said,
will you marry me?
Will you marry me? And you said?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, I don't think there was any hesitation.
No.
So
this was kind of coming. I think we talked about
getting married. It wasn't really a big surprise, I don't think, for you, right?
Yeah, we knew that we were going to get married. I just did not receive an official proposal.
So we had been dating since like November, and we met each other in end of August. So it wasn't very long.
No.
And then we ended up getting married on June 14th. So that's exactly how many months? 6 months? No, five months. How many months is that later? No, from February. Oh, from February 14th, then we got married exactly, what, February? March, April, May, June. We got married
4 months
later. So 4 months later. So that's how it went down, and we are still together today, 19 years later. So let's talk about these things, because let's admit it, and I think the first year or two was a little bit rougher in our marriage because we didn't know what we were getting into. We were both 19 years old when we got married.
Kind of scary. I look at some of the 19-year-olds today, and I think, what were our parents thinking letting us getting married?
Yeah, now we have a daughter that's, what?
16.
She'll be 17 this summer.
Yes.
So she's like 2.5 years away from that age that we got married. Oh, man. I hope she's ready. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Okay. So here, okay. 7 reasons why it's hard to love your spouse. Okay. Reason number 1, your spouse doesn't always live up to your dreams. Would you say that's true?
Yes, I think so. I think that one way you didn't live up to my dreams in the beginning was you forgot the anniversary when you asked me out on a date. I thought it was such a crime.
Well, I forgot that anniversary. The truth. I mean, that's just the truth of it. Your spouse doesn't always live up to your dreams.
He doesn't remember all of those little dates that you seem to have engraved in your memory, and he doesn't think that certain way of expressing love to you matter to you.
And that was something that when we got married, I really like, because your love language was gifts, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've never, ever been big on gifts. And our family really wasn't like a big gift-giving family either. I think maybe your family is more of a gift-giving family. So I mean, and I'm still bad at that, but I think I've changed you in that somewhat too. So
Yes,
that's not as
that's
much
true. You
your love
did.
language anymore. So we both probably changed there a little bit. Okay, number two reason, your spouse can be cranky. And
Yes.
you know what? This actually happened last night. Not you, but I was cranky. And I didn't even realize what was happening, but you live together and there are times when you're tired, there's times when you don't want to talk about certain things. And last night, honestly, I just got a little bit cranky when we were talking. Didn't I?
Yeah, I don't even know why exactly, but
I know
I
why. Because I was just tired and I didn't want to talk about some things that you were bringing up, but so I knew I got cranky. That's just and then Christina kind of brought that up to me. He's like, Caleb, you're really just kind of not responding very nicely to me. And I said, you know what? You're right. I wasn't. There's no excuse for that. And I,
That was
Christina.
nice of you to
Well, I
admit
admit
to
I
that.
realized it. That was just I was being a bit cranky, and so live with someone long enough, you will see them cranky, and it's honestly not very pleasant and not very easy to love someone when they are cranky. Number three, you compare your spouse with other people. I have seen this. I've seen this a lot in other marriages, and it's so detrimental to the marriage when you start comparing and looking at someone else's husband or someone else's wife, and then thinking, ah, oh, why isn't my spouse like that? And it makes it hard to love that person.
That's true. Well, one thing that I think is very good to remember is that we only see the public side of the marriage. And on the outside, that may look very attractive, and somebody else's spouse may look very pleasant and nice. But we don't know what's happening in the privacy of their own home. And so I don't think it's a very worthwhile
Yeah,
activity to
and it's
compare.
something that I think that we have to remind ourselves of. And when I'm talking with other husbands or couples, I remind them of it too. They say, listen, you don't know what's gone on with that couple. So don't say, oh, I wish my wife was more like so and so. Because who knows? Maybe at home, that person is just like you wouldn't want to have that person as your wife or as your husband or whatever. So it's just never helpful to compare in that way. The only way sometimes I say it's helpful to compare is say is to look at someone whose spouse you know is much worse than your spouse and say, Lord, I'm so glad you gave me the spouse you gave me, and they're not like that person. I guess sometimes it could be helpful to compare it in that way, but comparing your spouse to others is not usually a good thing. Number four reason why sometimes it's hard to love your spouse is, again, as you go through the years of marriage, there will inevitably be times that your spouse has hurt you. That doesn't mean that they've had an affair necessarily, although that could be true. But we will hurt each other as sinful people. And when you hold that against them, when you remember that, it can make it more difficult to love your spouse.
Yeah, I think about those families where the spouse was an alcoholic or a drug addict in the past. And that brings in a lot of these hurts. And sometimes it's very hard to forgive somebody like that. I would imagine. I never experienced that, but I'm sure that those people who have experienced it would agree with me that it is hard to forgive those hurts.
And which is again another reason why sometimes it seems easier to love someone else's spouse or somebody else that's not your spouse, just because they have not hurt you in the way that your spouse may have hurt you in the past.
There's no baggage.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. And but again, that's kind of it's false because that person may do the very same things to you or worse to you. And so we have to remember that when we think of those hurts of the past. All right. Number five, your spouse requires your time and effort.
Well, do I require your time?
Yeah, you do. I require your effort.
And I'm sure I require your time and effort. Yeah. I love to go on walks with you. And that does require your time
and you like it to be available. Don't stay late at work. When I come home early time at least, right? When I make time for the family. Yeah, and this is, again, it's the allure of, you know, having a lover or someone like that that doesn't have any requirements of you. But when you're married, when you live, there are requirements that you need to fulfill. And then sometimes you look at that and think, oh, that's so difficult, that's so hard, because you have to sacrifice. But that's what love is about, ultimately, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking that sometimes people think that marriage is sort of like having a pet. Yeah. That, you know, you just love the pet for the love of just for the enjoyment of loving them.
Yeah, right?
But making yourself feel fuzzy on the inside, and you just play with them and pet them.
That's called puppy love.
Yes, and you know, the pet does not necessarily require that time to develop their relationship. You love the pet. Just you kind of rub him and play with him, and he's okay. Or if you don't rub and play
but
with him.
But even pets require that you pick up their poop every once in a while. And, you know, like,
yes, but
okay. Sorry to interrupt you. By the way, so this blog post is on our site. So if you go to sukofamily.org/68, you can read the blog post. We're kind of going through these points and commenting on them, but I have written a whole blog post on this, and I just wanted to read just one paragraph that I wrote for this problem. Your spouse requires your time and effort. I wrote this: maybe marriage would be easier if we didn't actually have to live with each other. If we just got together a couple times a week and did fun things, then everyone would be happy and no one would have to give it that much effort. Right?
Yeah. Sounds.
Wait, don't they already have a name for that? That's right. It's called dating. And it's for people who aren't ready for marriage. So that's, folks, is one of the big differences between dating and marriage, right? Marriage is for mature people who are ready to love and sacrifice.
Commit to the relationship, yes.
Okay, we got two more. Number six, you see your spouse's imperfections. And here's the thing. This is really gets down, I think, to the core of it. Generally speaking, after a couple of years of marriage, no one will know your spouse better than you, and no one will know you better than your spouse. And that means they are going to know your flaws and your problems. And those things honestly make it harder to love. When they see those things.
I think they may start pretty innocently, and then if you don't deal with them, they just get on your nerves and you start despising your spouse. You have to be very careful about that. You have to learn to overlook what can be overlooked, forgive, or learn to live with it.
Well, yeah. And
change yourself.
I made these actually the last two points is you see your spouse's imperfection is number six, and number seven is your spouse sees your imperfection. Really sort of the same thing.
Yes.
But sometimes we can kind of get a one-sided thing where we think
we're perfect.
Well, yeah. We think that only our spouse has problems. Or when our spouse brings things up to us, we think that only they see the problem, you know, they see the problems in us and we don't see problems or something like that. But the reality of it is, I think God designed it this way because this is probably one of the greatest opportunities or tools, I guess you could say, for spiritual growth in our lives. Because if we are both dedicated to each other and to God, and we see these imperfections, yes, some of them we just need to look over because they're just, we just need to look over them and not pay attention to them. It's not worth our time to bring them up. But others we do need to bring up and bring out and help our spouse to conquer these problems in their life, but do it in a way that is helping them and not a way that is pointing out and being critical to them. And that's difficult to do.
And you know, this situation reminds me of two millstones that when you get them at first, they're rough. But as they work together and they grind the wheat, they get smoother and smoother with time. And I think that when you work with your spouse together, that these imperfections smooth away over time. You don't notice them. You overlook them. You forgive them.
I think you still notice. You notice them, but you overlook them. You have to choose to overlook them because you're going to notice them.
I suppose so. But they don't rub you the wrong way as they did, say, when you first notice them.
So, and part of it, too, is just a humility, knowing that, you know, I've got a lot to work on, too. So I'm not necessarily going to go to my spouse right now and say, hey, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that and why did you do, because I realize that as soon as I open my mouth, my spouse, or in this case, Christina, can open her mouth and say, Caleb, but I noticed that you did this, this, and that, and other thing, or didn't do this, this, that, and other thing.
So it's best to make sure that you're blameless in the sight of God.
Well, no, and I mean, I know that I'm never blameless, but I think that when you see those imperfections, there has to be humility about it. And then if you are, and this is a free tip here, okay? I mean, so sometimes, Christina, I've seen things that about you that I think, you know what, it's just not right. And oftentimes, though, like in the situation, I won't say anything about it. Because I know that at that time I bring it up, that you might not react correctly to it, you know? And so I'll wait, and it might be the next day, or it might be a few days later or something when we're talking, and I'll say, well, I noticed this. I mean, you've noticed me doing that before, haven't you?
Yeah.
And so I'll bring it up later, because I know that there will be a better time when you're in a better mood and I'm in a better mood and I can approach it better and you might respond to it better. And so there are some times like that where you just have to have the wisdom of, is it appropriate to say this now, to bring it up now? Sometimes you don't have that luxury, but I think a lot of times that you do, and that can be helpful, just knowing the right time to bring some of those things up. Okay, so those are our seven reasons why sometimes it's hard to love your spouse. But let's talk about a couple of truths that can help you love your spouse despite those difficulties. And here is where it's important to focus on God's love for us. By the way, here's a side note. I talked to this lady. Well, I wrote the blog post about that lady that with the son with epilepsy, right? And I was talking to her, and she was just talking to me about how, you just have to teach everyone to love each other and everything will be fine. And I said, yeah, but how can you teach people to love each other if you have not believed in Jesus and accepted that biggest act of love possible, which is his sacrifice for you on the cross? You can't just teach people to love each other who don't understand God's love through Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to marriage, too, and we talk about loving each other in these difficult circumstances, I think it's important that we go back to God and his love for us and really have a concrete understanding of God's love for us, because that'll give us a basis to love in our marriage.
Yes, I agree.
So the first truth is God loved you on your worst day. Like when you were cranky. When you didn't want to be loved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you didn't even know about God's love. And I remind myself of that when it's hard to love. I think, wait a minute. Am I here just to love when it's sort of easygoing and Christina responds really nicely and she says, oh, you're such a wonderful husband, you are the best, you know. Yeah, of course that's nice. But if I was only to love in those situations, that wouldn't really say much about my ability to love, would it?
No.
So, the first truth is God loved us on our worst day, and the verse there is Romans 5:8. It says, God demonstrated his love for us by the fact that the Messiah died for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. Okay, number two. There is nothing you can do to change God's love for you. You know, God's love is faithful and consistent. It doesn't depend upon our behavior. And I think that faithfulness of God's love is something that we ought to be reflecting in our marriage and in all of our relationships, really, but primarily in our marriages, of loving no matter what.
Yes, and I think this has to be very intentional. It does not come naturally.
No, it definitely doesn't.
And you really have to remind yourself, because the first reaction is to throw a fit or get angry, get upset. But
there's a stability in God's love. And the verse that I'm reminded of is James 1:17 that says that God doesn't change like the shifting shadows. And our love shouldn't change like the shifting shadows. It should be a stable, solid presence that is always with us and in our marriage, no matter the factors and the situation of life, no matter, you know, how loud the kids are screaming and how much laundry needs to be done and how hungry I am or how tired I am like I was last night. Sorry about that. Okay. Truth number three. To love another when life is good is nothing extraordinary. I already talked about this a little bit. But to love in hardships, trials, and suffering, that's divine. And that really typifies God's love for us. We don't know God's love because when the sun was shining and the grass was green and the day was perfect, God loved us. You know, again, it says when we were sinners, God loved us. Or... again, Romans has a good verse, Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the Messiah's love? Can trouble, distress, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or violent death? No. And the answer is no. And so when we think about what is true love, really, we have to go to those difficult times and think, true love, real love, the greatest love is the love that loves in the most difficult times of life.
And honestly, it's not the kind of times that we want to have in our lives. But I think that this is where the true love is forged, in those trials, that you are able to exhibit this true love for your spouse. You're able to put it into practice. Mm-hmm. You're able to show your spouse, well, here it is. I stick with you. We're in it together. For better or for worse.
Yeah, and ultimately that really strengthens the bond that you have with your spouse when your spouse sees that despite the situation, you loved and you were faithful and you stuck with them. Mm-hmm. And then that, it's like hardening concrete, you know, it just that strengthens and deepens the love more and more and more. All right, the last one is, in the end, selfless love changes the lover and the beloved. Now, this illustration goes off a little bit because when we talk about God, God doesn't change, right? So when he loved us, he didn't really change, except that he did send his son to become flesh, which I could say was in a way a change. But the verse that I'm reminded of is 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father's lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that we did not know him. Is that it did not know him. So, but we see how God's love changes us. We become children of God because of his love. And I think that in a marriage, what happens is that when I as a husband love you in the way that I should love you, it changes you for your benefit. Because you respond to that love and you grow and you come closer to me and your character has changed. But I also change as I love you because it's a growing process for me. And I realize that there are times when I need to give up certain things in order to love you properly. And I learn how to sacrifice for you. And I learn how to sacrifice for others in that process. And I learn how to love in the tough times. And through that, I grow also. And so both of us grow through that loving in difficult times.
It's just an amazing feature that God put in the marriage relationship.
Yeah.
So that if you do love each other the way that God wants you to love each other, then you are able to grow, both of you, at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's something that so many couples miss out on is that they look at difficult times in their marriage, difficult times in their life when it's hard to love their spouse, and they think, oh, this is not right. I want to get out, you know. But really, they should be looking at that and saying, okay, this is an opportunity God has provided to me to grow and for us to grow.
Yes, I think it's easier maybe to even survive certain situations when we think about it as an opportunity to grow, opportunity to become more Christ-like.
It's a change of perspective.
Yes.
And also, I think that the change of perspective has to be that, because sometimes there's this expectation more among younger couples of, we got married because it was easy to love each other, and it's going to continue that way. But when we have a proper view of marriage and fallen humanity, we know that we were not getting married because it was easier to love you than anyone else in the world or what have you. We got married because we felt God was leading us to get married. And because we're in love, of course, we're in love. But knowing fallen humanity, we need to know and expect that there will be difficult times. And that doesn't mean that we married the wrong person or what have you. It just means that these are times that God has given us that we can grow in.
It's interesting to think about this. I really wish I knew and I internalized some of these things when I was 19 when we first got married, because
so do I. I wish I did too.
But you know, it's just amazing to think about the years that we spent struggling through some of the things,
working
these problems out. We could have avoided this.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of this is stuff that, like, I mean, we were 19 when we got married, so it's just like stuff that, like, didn't even enter our train of thought. It's just like, whew, we're in love. Let's get married. This is going to be awesome, you know? And it was, and it is. But there's so many aspects to the relationship that, I mean, like the complication of kids, you know, and all that goes along with that. Thankfully, we didn't get 5 kids all at once. But so there's a lot of things that, you know, with the years that wisdom teaches you. And I think that, in a way, I mean, you can't expect a younger couple to even know and understand a lot of these things. But if you have a focus on Christ and you have the right goals in mind, eventually you will learn some of these things as you grow. Any parting words of wisdom?
Just trying to think of how we can impart some of these things to our children before they enter that marrying age.
Which is coming very, very fast.
I don't know. It seems like as the years go by, they fly by faster and faster every time. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, you have 2 teenagers in your house. And very soon I'm sure it will be, wow, all the kids except for one are gone. And have to think about these things, imparting these things that we are talking about to them before they leave the nest and start.
All we have to do is force them to listen to this podcast episode.
How do you make them internalize everything that they've heard?
Well, that's a different question. For that, we need to pray and ask Holy Spirit to let them internalize these things. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that is it for this podcast episode. Check it out, sukufamily.org/68. And also you can find it on iTunes, Now's the Time podcast. Check it out there too. Give it a rating, a review, because that does help get it out in front of more people. And as always, we appreciate your prayers for us here in Ukraine, where we are serving Jesus and have the privilege of preaching the gospel and helping the church here, helping the church to effectively preach the gospel and make disciples. All right, friends, till next time, blessings.